Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me today. My name is Leah, and this is another creepy story. The road ahead was straight and desolate. It almost felt like I could close my eyes and the car wouldn't veer off. Even if it did, there was nothing but desert for miles on each side of the asphalt. I'd been driving for hours at that point. My destination, a remote motel that I had visited as a kid. I don't know why I chose to drive there, of all the places that I could go on my 2-day vacation. Ever since Emily left, though, I had had trouble getting myself out of the house. This seemed like a good idea, a forgotten but happy memory. Just one night in the motel. I'd even booked the same room that Dad and I had stayed in during our hunting trip of 92. As I drove, listening to the monotonous sound of the engine, I wondered if the room would look the same. I could barely picture it anymore, but I did remember the smell. Musty with a hint of mildew and bleach. You could tell that they tried to clean it, but you could always detect the foul odor underneath the cleaning products. There was a painting in the room that I had taken a liking to. I'd actually taken it off the wall before we left, telling Dad that I wanted to steal it. Dad had scolded me for that, and then, in a gentler tone, explained that even if the hotel didn't notice that their painting was missing, it was still wrong to take. It had been this large canvas hanging opposite the wall from the bed, and it had been done with oil paints. It was this black background dotted with stars and planets. A simple painting of a galaxy, but something about it drew me in. I had felt hypnotized by the spirals of white. Almost like if I could just curl up into a ball and make myself small enough, I could somehow crawl into that painting. My memories of that room and that painting were what kept me company on this long drive. I'd been driving for hours at that point and wondering if I'd pass the motel. There weren't any landmarks that I could remember, as it was nothing but desert for miles and everything looked the same. I began to wonder if the motel was gone. Maybe a ghost had taken my credit card information. The monotony of the landscape was lulling me into a state of half-consciousness, and I debated turning around and going back to the city lights and the safety of civilization. The radio crackled with static, the few stations available fading in and out. I hit the buttons repeatedly, knowing that I wouldn't get any music or news updates. I'd even take a weather station at that point. Anything to break the silence and help me stay awake. Maybe this hadn't been the best use of my vacation. Google Maps had stopped working over an hour ago, and with the state that the motel had been in back then, maybe it really wasn't standing. I turned the volume up on the static. Anything to keep my attention. But 30 minutes later, I stopped the car in the middle of the deserted road. I was going to turn around. The sense of isolation was just too much. This road had been okay in the daytime, but now, as the sun was setting, the landscape, devoid of life, was just blackness, fading into nothing. I couldn't help but picture this as the perfect place that somebody could make another one disappear. And that was when I saw him. I rubbed my tired eyes to make sure that the slowed movement that had caught my attention wasn't a trick of the fading light. But then, no, it was real. There, standing by the side of the road, about 20 feet from where I'd stopped, like he had appeared out of nowhere, was this figure in a black suit. The contrast of his dark attire against the orange and red sand was stark, and his outfit seemed uncomfortable. Way too hot for the desert heat, even in the evening. He held a black leather briefcase in one hand and the other extended slightly, as if he were reaching out for a distant handshake. It wasn't the sign that people make when they're hitchhiking. It was almost like he didn't understand the concept. But then he started walking towards my car. Instinctively, I hit the gas and continued forwards, purposefully avoiding his gaze. I would feel less regret if I didn't look him in the eyes. He was approaching the car, moving at such a slow pace that at first, I assumed he was elderly. I continued straight towards my original destination. Every thought about hitchhikers was running through my mind. The dangers of picking them up, the warnings, how remote this location was. I could feel my heart beating, arguing with myself over whether I'd made the right decision. Why was this guy in the middle of nowhere? Why was he dressed like that? How did he get there? Overwhelming guilt tugged at my conscience. I'd let the fear override my sense of empathy, which normally I always had. What if it was me out there? What if I needed help and nobody stopped? I scanned the road behind me in my rearview mirror, looking for any signs of him or perhaps other cars that could stop. I couldn't be responsible for this. If something happened to him, I couldn't live with myself. I had to ensure that he would be okay, so I turned around. It was darker now. The headlights illuminated the stretch of road, and I noted that it might be hard to see his black clothing in the dark. I scanned and turned the bend, and there, standing in the same spot as when I'd first seen him, was the man in the black suit. Again, he slowly started towards my car. He had a calmness about him. A strange stillness. Like he was in no hurry at all. He was pale. Too pale for having been stuck on a desert road with no hat or umbrella under a scorching summer sun. My grip on the steering wheel tightened as he approached. Something that I only noticed I was doing after I'd released my hand to roll the window down. I felt the rush of blood go back down my arm. "Need a lift?" I asked. The hitchhiker's lips curled into a smile. "You've had a change of heart, I see," he said. Guilt rose in my throat. "Yeah, it's just, it's a long stretch between here and the nearest town. I couldn't just leave you out here." The hitchhiker's dark eyes held mine. It was then that I noticed, just how large the pupils were. They were unnaturally large. I gestured for him to get in, and I watched as he approached the passenger side door. His steps were slow, measured, and deliberate. They were almost like a cat. My heart pounded again as I glanced at my new passenger, debating again whether I'd made the right decision. I knew that I hadn't, and I knew that I would never do this again. "Thanks for stopping," he said, his voice carrying this undertone of a mood that I couldn't pick up on. I really couldn't tell if he was friendly, or creepy, or just quiet. "No problem," I said casually, but I could hear the weariness in my own voice. "Where are you headed?" The hitchhiker's gaze turned distant. It was like the answer to my question was beyond my understanding. "Just passing through, my friend. This road seems to stretch on forever, doesn't it?" he asked. "Yeah, it's a pretty long stretch," I said. "I'm assuming you're heading to the nearby town?" His gaze wandered once again out the window. I think he was lost in thought, or more likely, the heat had taken its toll on him. I offered him some water, but he politely refused, extending his arm up to shoulder height and gently waving the bottle away. "A town, you say?" he asked with noticeable excitement in his voice. "Bustling hives of busy bees. I'd love to observe the busy bees." I shot him a grin, confused, but almost laughing, assuming that he was trying to lighten the mood with his bizarre comment. But my unease only deepened. "What do you mean, observe the bees?" I asked. "Oh, the motel," he said, dodging my question. "Yes, a town with a motel would be nice." "Great," I said. And that's where I left it. That's where I'm headed, and it's really the only place there is, so let's get going. An uncomfortable silence settled between us, broken only by the hum of the engine and the occasional coyote. My thoughts were racing as the discomfort grew with every passing mile. The lights were a welcome sight when we finally arrived to the small village, which was called Void. My headlights cut through the darkness of the parking lot as I pulled in way too quickly. The motel looked exactly as it had from all those years ago, almost like it had been frozen in time. Even the letter I in the neon sign was still burned out. It flickered with a soft buzz, casting an eerie glow, and it only accentuated the isolation of the area. I could see a woman at the check-in desk through the motel lobby's dirty window. Another face. She was a welcome sight. A sense of relief had washed over me. Mainly that my creepy passenger hadn't killed me. I wouldn't become a true crime story online. I glanced at the hitchhiker. He was still sitting in my passenger seat. It was as if he didn't understand that it was time to exit the car. "We're here," I said. He nodded, his gaze fixed on the dimly lit building. "Ah, yes. A temporary refuge, a sanctuary beneath the stars, where all the busy bees come to rest. I ignored him this time, grabbing my bag from the back seat. The hitchhiker did the same in this strange, echoic motion. His briefcase, which I hadn't noticed before, had this glistening effect under the lights. As we walked towards the lobby, the gravel crunching underneath our feet, I eyed the empty parking lot. There were no other cars. The motel was empty. This one level V shape with 12 rooms. It looked exactly as I remembered it. But my uneasiness returned. Though it was empty of guests, I had the unmistakable feeling of eyes watching me. "Welcome to the Void Inn," the receptionist said, greeting us warmly. The hitchhiker had apparently booked his room in advance as well. The girl held out the room key, and it took him an uncomfortable amount of time to take it from her. Again, it seemed like he didn't understand the concept, but eventually he thanked her and turned his attention back to me. He walked beside me as we made our way down the dimly lit outdoor corridor. My senses at that point were on high alert, and I just wanted to get into my room and get away from this guy at this point. I was worried that maybe he thought we were going to share a room together. As far as I was concerned, I had helped him, made sure that he didn't die on a desert road, and my helpful transaction was over. As we walked, I noted how the motel somehow felt bigger than it did when I was a kid. Our rooms were next to one another, so the hitchhiker followed closely beside me. He seemed to glide almost effortlessly. It was almost like he was floating. He was walking way too close. Personal space being another foreign concept. I opened the door to my room, the soft glow of a lamp already on. It welcomed me inside to the cozy and safe little haven for the night. I tossed my bag onto the bed and turned, startled to see the hitchhiker. He was just standing inside my doorway. I didn't want to talk to him anymore. "Your room's over there," I said harshly, pointing to the number 7 next to mine. The hitchhiker inclined his head and smiled. "Thank you, John. Sleep beckons, dreams await. Busy bees tomorrow." I nodded, a mix of relief, annoyance, and curiosity watched over me as I watched him finally turn away from my door. "Yeah," I said, "have a good night." After I closed my door, I listened and I heard that he had closed his. But the sense of being watched only intensified. I glanced around my room, legitimately wondering if there were hidden cameras. I peeked inside electrical outlets. I turned the lamps upside down. I felt underneath the desk and I unscrewed light fixtures. Then I started removing pictures from the walls just to be sure that there weren't holes hiding behind them. And that was when I saw it. The picture from when I was young. It was still in the room, only it had been moved from the wall across from the bed, now hanging on the wall beside the coffee maker. the black abyss of space, the small flecks of white stars, that feeling of emptiness. And it had the same hypnotizing effect that I remembered. I hadn't known it as a kid, but it depicted the Milky Way galaxy with its swirling stars and cosmic hues. Yet, there was something off about it, an eerie quality that seemed to emanate right from the canvas. The colors were slightly too intense. The stars were too vivid, and the spiral arms of the galaxy seemed to twist and turn in unnatural and unsettling ways. I found myself just as drawn to it as I had decades ago. I approached it so close that my nose was touching the white swirls. My fingers reached out to trace the contours of the stars and the swirling expanse of the galaxy. I felt this strange connection to the painting. It was one that I didn't understand, but I wanted to. As I stood watching it, a strange hum started emanating from it. The swirls of the galaxy seemed to dance along with this humming, like they were moving to some sort of cosmic lullaby. I could see them. They were moving, twisting and folding, the same way that paint moves when you mix it. Then the ticking of the clock became melodious, and the urge to climb inside, stronger than I'd felt as a kid, came back. A loud thud from outside finally snapped my eyes away from it. I looked at the clock and I realized that I'd spent hours staring into the expanse of space. My mind, it had been consumed by the void and by thoughts of the hitchhiker and our strange encounter on the road. I also realized how suffocatingly quiet the room had become. Every creak and rustle of the old room seemed magnified. I felt like my own footsteps were somehow giving me away to some unseen danger. I chalked it all up to the long drive and how the hitchhiker's presence had really put me on edge. I just needed sleep. I was too tired to even take in the memories of the room, not really remembering why I'd even come back here in the first place. Crawling into bed, I tried to shake off the worries and finally embrace the comfort of sleep. But as I closed my eyes, the lingering feeling of being watched remained. My thoughts turned back to the hitchhiker, wondering again about what he was doing out there on that desolate road. But my eyes were so heavy, and eventually everything faded away into the blackness of a dream. When I woke up, I instinctively stretched my stiff neck. It's the kind of pain that creeps up on you as you get older, and then you sleep in an unfamiliar bed. I'd collapsed last night in my exhausted state, so I had nothing to pack. I gazed across the room one last time, noting that something just felt off. It was an intangible shift in the energy. This wasn't the room that I remember. The entire room felt empty and cold, devoid of warmth, just like the painting. And suddenly, I was desperate to leave. As I made my way down the outdoor hallway, I passed by room number 7. curious if the hitchhiker was already awake. I saw that the curtain to his room was parted, and something told me to look inside. I saw that the bed was neatly made, devoid of any trace that he had even spent the night there. I guess he checked out even earlier than me. He'd left without a word, though. Without a trace. Not even a thank you. And I was curious where he had gone. For some weird reason, I wanted to know more about him. I felt a rush of conflicting emotions. Mainly relief and confusion. But also, despite his unsettling nature, I was annoyed that he had left without saying goodbye. The same receptionist from the night before greeted me with the same friendly smile. I wondered how long our shifts must be. "Good morning, sir. How'd you sleep?" she asked. "Fine, thanks," I said. I scanned the lobby. A free coffee bar with two carafes was set up by the window, both piping hot with steam rising from the tops. Walking over to make a cup and take one of the muffins, I noted the dirt inside the styrofoam cups. Like nobody had had any in a long time, and I opted not to partake in any of it. It looked dirty, unused. "Did you happen to see the man that I was with last night?" I asked the girl. "You know, the one in the black suit that I came in with?" The receptionist's smile faded. A look of confusion while trying to remain polite. "I'm sorry, sir," she said. "But you checked in alone last night." My heart sank with embarrassment and confusion. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. No, I thought. I'd shared the ride here with him. I'd watched him walk into his room. We'd exchanged words. We'd arrived together. Yet now it was as though the stranger had never existed. Did I make him up? I wondered. Was this a hallucination created by sleeplessness? Laughing it off, I forced a smile and pretended that I was just joking with her. I thanked her for the room, but a cold realization was hitting me. I knew that he had been real, and whatever had happened last night defied logic. I grabbed a cup from the bottom of the pile, dumping out a clump of dust that had accumulated, and I poured from the regular carafe anyways. This was going to be a long drive back, and I needed caffeine. As I drove away from the motel, my mind was consumed by the unanswered questions that were swirling around in my head. Who was this hitchhiker? What was his purpose? And most unsettling of all, why had he vanished without a trace? I turned back onto the same desolate highway to make my way home. It seemed more barren than it had yesterday. The temperature is already nearing 30 degrees and it wasn't even 8 a.m. yet. An hour later, as I rounded a bend, I nearly dropped the still scalding coffee into my lap. It remained hot just from the temperatures inside my unconditioned car. But there he was, the figure in the black suit. I slowed down, staring at the man who, like the night before, had again seem to materialize out of the desolate landscape, standing motionless with just his black briefcase in hand. He stood motionless, looking away from me. What was he doing out here again? Why was he hitchhiking along the same road? I pulled the car to a stop, my heart pounding as he approached the car in the same slow manner that he had the night before. "Morning," I said, somewhat angrily. "Why did you take off so early? I could have given you a ride back if you'd waited for me." The hitchhiker turned towards me, his dark eyes, alien and void of human warmth and understanding of a friendly conversation. His facial expressions were off, and then a smile came across his lips, almost as if on cue. He said the same thing to me that he had the day before. "Just passing through, my friend. This road seems to stretch on forever, doesn't it?" I couldn't hide my frustration, my confusion. "No," I said, "that's not good enough. Don't pretend like you didn't meet me yesterday. You were in my car. You stayed at the same hotel." My confusion came off as accusatory. "Forgive me," he said, "but you must be mistaken." His voice had the same calmness as before, which only enraged me more. "I am merely passing through, looking for busy bees," he continued. "No," I said. "You were real. I met you yesterday. I wanted to drive away, but there was this sense of unease mingling with a strange pull, and it was only drawing me towards him." The hitchhiker placed his pale hands on my open window. He tilted his head unnaturally in these slow ticking motions that you wouldn't really notice from far away. He leaned closer into the window and he whispered, "You've come back, John. But I assure you, we've never met." At that point, I couldn't explain the strange connection that I felt towards him. "You must be wondering why I'm here," he said. He was making eye contact with me, but somehow looking through me. "Yeah," I said. His long fingers danced across the surface of his briefcase. "I have something to offer you, John. Something that you've wanted for a long time." He opened the briefcase, revealing this large stack of paintings. Smaller copies of the Milky Way Galaxy paintings from the motel. The same one that had captivated my thoughts for well over 30 years. The colors were just as vivid in these smaller paintings, just as intense. The cosmic swirls were coming alive in the full sunlight. As I stared at the paintings, the man in the black suit extended one long finger, and he traced the arms of the galaxy. I stared, completely captivated, and a familiar sensation washed over me. That same pulling sensation that drew me into the swirling depths of the black space from the original painting in the motel. I wanted to just disappear into that black abyss. "Would you like to buy one?" the hitchhiker asked. His voice held this hypnotic quality It was like a siren from the ocean, beckoning me to follow him into the unknown. "How much?" I asked. "We'll have to wait and find out, busy little bee," the hitchhiker said. I ignored the fear. I ignored the feeling of the unknown that was radiating from this man. I knew that there was something unsettling about him. This darkness that lurked just beneath his well-presented surface. Yet, I couldn't deny the strange allure that I felt towards him, and especially the paintings. The voice inside me was still screaming, telling me to drive away. But I reached over and, once again, opened the passenger side door to let him in. He adjusted himself to the squishy leather, carefully placing the briefcase on his lap. As we started down the road, I knew that my journey had taken a terrifying but irresistible turn into the void. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed that creepy story. Have a wonderful day or night. Thank you again. Goodbye.